welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the one, the only Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, a.k.a. this show's frontman and main host. As we say goodbye to Google Podcasts today, Wednesday. That's right, as of today, Google Podcasts has gone the way of the dodo, so to speak. I mean, you cannot find us on Google Podcasts anymore because Google Podcasts are no longer a thing. You could find us easily on Good Pods. And the upside for Good Pods is it's on every platform, whether it be iOS or Android. So find us there instead and listen and share our show and interact with us there. But beyond that, I have good news and bad news for all of you. The good news is you're getting a show today or a second show this week, depending on how you want to look at it. The bad news is me and Sasha didn't get together this week and therefore see that as you will. So if you want to say that, yay, Sasha's not with the Godfather this weekend, yay, you have to do more stuff by yourself, yay, or boo, the Godfather is not with Sasha today, boo, you two tend to do better when you two are together, let us know what your thoughts are. And not to mention, if you want more original content, I'm going to have to put feelers out and see if we can get a few people on so we have some original content to have for some of you until Sasha gets back and everything else. And not to mention, I'll put the link to the Facebook page for Slacker and the Man in the description down below. So if it's clickable on Apple Podcasts or Good Pods or even Podbean. I know all of you listen to us on Podbean a lot. I see the metrics. Click it and gently let them know that you want to see either Dobbs or the man come on the show again. Just politely let them know. Tell them you want to be on the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Tell Dobbs that, say, hey, something like, hey, Dobbs, we want to see you on the Long Coat Mafia Podcast again. Get with the Godfather and come back on for a little while. Or let the man know. Drop a message. Hey, the man, if you're seeing this, whoever's running this page right now, let the man know that he should be on the Long Coat Mafia Podcast at least once. And, you know, see if we can, that way, me and the man or me and Dobbs could coordinate efforts one day and therefore try to record a main episode. And well, depending if they want to allow it or not, hey, the man, Dobbs, if you're listening, or Nash, if you're listening, if you still speak to Dobbs or the man, let them know. I know I could reach out. I'm friends with both on Facebook, but still I want audience engagement. podcast times are changing and stuff, but still, I digress. Let them know. Or let me know that you want to hear them. That way, I'll get off my lazy fat ass and let them know. But either way, let's get on to the main part of the show. What are we doing today? Well, since at the end of this month, because our Road to 4 State Comic Con Hagerstown 2024 has officially begun, as we stated on Monday's episode, it's official. It's official, official. It's April official, so it's official, 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 official. And I will say this. We are going to introduce to you what to expect at a 4-State Comic Con event by sharing a panel. That's number one. Number two, because actress Nancy Ann Ritter will be at the event this year. She's not a front page guest, but she will be a guest at this event. And Nancy is best known as one of the bathroom girls from the original Scream, but she's also done a lot of other stuff. She was in Days of Our Lives, a few commercials and cartoon crossovers. She's done a lot of other work and well-known work. So I will say this. The panel you're about to hear is the panel she did in 2022, I believe, or 2021. 2022. We were there for, me and Big Candy were there, and pretty much Matt Burns came up to us and said, hey, I'm going to be doing a panel with Nancy talking about Scream and all that, and would you mind recording it for us? Because we know that you like to record panels and all. Would you like to do it and share it with everybody? And I was like, all right, as long as she's willing, I'm willing. And a little while later, Donna Jean, I believe that's the podcast, who was part of the podcast, Donna Jean Phillips, I believe she was, she came up and was like, listen, Matt's not doing the panel with Nancy, I am. And I was like, okay. Or it was like Matt came back later and he's like, listen, I'm not doing the panel with Nancy. Donna Jean Phillips is going to be doing the panel with her. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Thank you for letting me know, Matt. And I'm going to have to clear things with her. He's like, I'm sure she'll allow it. You know, I spoke to Donna and she allowed it. She's like, we're happy you're doing this and so forth and so on. So I'm going to include Donna Jean Phillips, links in the description and all that. So, again, panels are commonplace at Four States, just like every other con. Will we be getting a panel this year? I don't know. Knock on wood, fingers crossed, holding up lucky rabbit's foot, the whole nine yards. Will we get one? I don't know. Card subject to change, but either way, what more can I say? But hey, George, hit the button that cues out the panel with Nancy Ann Ryder, will ya? Thanks, man.
The Long Coat Mafia will be right back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Donna Jean, and I am with the one and the only girl in the bathroom, Nancy Ann Ryder.
Hey guys, so excited to be here and so excited to get to be with you guys. Thank you for coming.
I have something one up on you guys. Is I have a podcast called Donna Jean's Coffee House of Horror, and it's on a channel called Nerdbox. And not long ago, I interviewed Nancy Ann, so I got some pretty awesome and amazing stories. And I would like to start out before the Q&A by asking Nancy to share with you how she actually first got the role in Scream, because it's a pretty fun and awesome story.
So I had just moved to Los Angeles, graduating from Northwestern University. And my friend at the time, Julie Pleck, was Wes Craven's assistant. And I'd only been in LA like 5 months, I was 22, and Julie called and she goes, how tall are you? And I said, I'm 5'7", and she said, that's perfect. They had narrowed the part of Sydney down to five actresses, one of them being Nev. And the big audition day with Wes Craven, the average height of each of the girls was 5'7", so they wanted me there to play, to stand in for Sydney, just to help Wes Craven set up the lights and camera. And the first half of the day, I stood behind Wes just because he had a good view of the monitor. And then the two scenes were this first scene where Skeet crawls in through her bedroom window and they have that little G-rated on top of the nightgown action. And then the second scene was when the killer first calls Nev Campbell, and they had little makeshift sets set up. So the four, Nev went, Brittany Murphy also auditioned that day, a girl from My So-Called Life, AJ Langer, and then a girl named Megan Ward. So those four went, and then Alicia Witt, who's a redhead. So kind of halfway through the day when he was setting up just the lighting and camera, Wes turns around to me and he goes, do you know the lines to the two scenes? Because I'd been watching the actresses. I said, yes. And this particular time, he wanted me to do the whole scene as Sydney for the camera and lights just to get it set up. And then the phone call scene. So I did both scenes. And right when I finished the phone call scene, Wes Craven beelined up to me and he put his hand out and he goes, that was excellent. And he went to go check on one of the actresses was in hair and makeup. And right as he left the room, he was like, have her read for one of the bathroom girls. And the casting director at that point came running over and she said, once we finish casting all the lead main characters, we'll bring you in. So initially I had audition for the cheerleader. I've been acting since I was 9. At the cheerleader audition was literally the worst audition I've ever given. And then ultimately cast me as the girl in bathroom, the sidekick to the cheerleader. And it all happened super, super fast. Like they called to say that I'd gotten the bathroom girl like on a Tuesday and I was on the plane by Thursday. We were able to shoot the scene. We got it done on a Friday. They shot Neve Campbell's reaction shots to the mean things that the cheerleader is saying. They shot her reaction shots on a separate day. So on our day, it was me and the cheerleader. And they had just finished shooting Henry Winkler's getting stabbed, the principal getting stabbed scene. So I saw him in his bloody shirt. And then we did our scene. And they kept us through the weekend in case he needed to get extra shots, but he got everything he needed on one day, so.
So you've been away from the genre for a long, long time. And I know when I interviewed you, you seemed so surprised that there was so much love of the bathroom girls. You guys have love for the bathroom girls. Bathroom girl love. Does anybody have any questions in specific they would like to ask?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Hold on one second.
Oh, I heard. So my favorite. Okay, so I'm a horror movie virgin. I have an answer. So I guess I would first say Psycho was the first one, and I love Norman Bates, and that scared the tar out of me. And now I am finally ready to dive into all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, but when I was younger growing up, I was just too afraid. But yeah, Psycho would have been the first one, and then I only recently just watched the first two Halloweens. And now that I'm starting to do the conventions and everyone asks me, have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street? And I say no, so then I feel so, so I'm excited to just kind of dive right in and watch everything. And I wanted to know, what was your favorite horror movie? If you had to pick one. So many. Oh wait, Child's Play? Yeah. And that's Chucky, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm an open book.
You should never mistake like Jason and Michael. You just don't want to do that.
Okay.
Different kinds of masks.
Okay, oh right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep. So my first, with Wes asking me specifically to audition, I was so shocked when he said, when he was like, that was excellent, and I didn't expect anything from that specific day. So he just was so gentle and just down to earth and so sweet and very embracing of me. And that was just it was my first movie, so it was just very shocking just how lovely he was to me. And then when I came in to audition, he was there in the audition. And since I wore a little mini skirt and a little shirt that said Girls Rule, and he started bowing to me. And so he just was just amazing and lovely. And I'm not a smoker, but somehow at the rap party, I was smoking cigarettes and Wes was like, hey, can I have one? And he just was so talented, and I feel so grateful I got to work with him. And then I became closest friends with the cheerleader, just because we were together, and we both were living in Los Angeles, so she and I spent a lot of time, and at the time she was living with Skeet Ulrich. They were, I think they dated maybe for like 2 years or so. So they lived in a little house in the Hollywood Hills, and we spent Thanksgiving together. So because of being good friends with the cheerleader, Skeet would have been the other one I got to know the best. David Arquette, I remember David Arquette is hilarious, and we had lunch with him, and he had amazing stories, and just getting to be, when they shot the bathroom scene, the main actors hadn't arrived yet, but Skeet and David Arquette did, and that was great. And then probably the most amazing thing to me was when we had the rap party, Courtney Cox got up on stage, and she's a really good drummer. So I was just like, that's amazing. And I told her, I was like, you did a great job. And she was like, no, I was really off my game tonight. But the rap party was super fun because the movie had Drew Barrymore, Henry Winkler, and Courtney Cox. I wish I could have it here to show, but they made a tribute reel to each one of them, and they played it at the rap party. And it was, you know, with Drew Barrymore from E.T., forward, and Courtney Cox, like the little Bruce Springsteen music video, and then Henry Winkler with Fonzie, and that was just amazing. And then they did showed a blooper reel, like Wes would, the first time Nev goes to the closet to open the door in her house, and it's just the hangers, Wes was hiding in the closet and scared the bejesus out of her. So just the just all of those hijinks, and it just getting, the crew was such a nice crew. Where we shot in Santa Rosa, just north of San Francisco, was so beautiful, and I'd never been up in Northern California. So it feels so long ago. It almost feels like just kind of a miracle that it happened, and very magical, and then just amazing to see I've only seen Scream 2, but I'm excited to see Scream 3, 4, and then obviously the new one. And I just feel really grateful to have been a part of, even though I'm such a tiny part, just to be a part of the Scream franchise. And yeah, there were no egos on set. Just the producers, everybody was just so lovely. And so it was a great first movie experience to have.
If you could play any other role in the original Scream, any other role, who would it be and why?
Probably, I know I wouldn't get cast as Sydney, I love all of them, Tate, Rose McGowan, and Courtney Cox, but I guess I would say Sydney just because of the arc of her character she's just all the horrible stuff that's happening to her that whole week, and having lost her mom, and just as an actor, that would be so fun to go through her whole journey. And I think Nev Campbell did an amazing job, so that would be fun just to dive into that character, just because she has to go through such a big emotional journey, and yeah, I think that would be the most fun for sure.
Now, you said that you started out in the theater at 9?
At 9 years old. I grew up just outside of Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. had a great professional theater scene. So once I started doing plays at 9, I just went from play to play to play to play. And then I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, a performing arts high school in Washington, D.C., and that was an amazing school to be at, because then theaters like the Kennedy Center, a lot of the big professional theaters would, if they needed a teenage kid for a specific play, they would come audition us. And so I got to do really amazing plays and voiceover work, and then going to Northwestern University, and then straight to LA. I always thought I would just stick with theater, so the going into movie and TV was a really new thing for me. And then I stayed there for 5 years and then moved to New York for 12, and I'm going to move back to New York. But what was fun with New York is you, as long as you're in either city, LA or New York, I had just as many movies. When you have a movie, they'll cast out of both LA and New York, so they're looking at actors in both cities. So I never felt like living in New York that I was missing out on audition opportunities in Los Angeles. And I have a commercial agent in New York, and then I have a theatrical agent for film, TV, Broadway, off-Broadway, and then on-camera commercials and voiceovers. I definitely want to keep doing theater, and then the film and TV is a newer challenge. If you go to IMDb, I have very few credits. I made a very bad marital decision working on a film called Charlie's Party, and my husband from that film became physically abusive for the 6 years. So I totally had dropped out from acting for a long time, just trying to make it through the marriage and then get rid of him. So now I'm fine. I'm finally ready to move back up to New York and then just resume auditioning and acting. So, but I'm so embarrassed. Like, I have really successful friends in TV and movies, like big producers, writer friends, and my writer friend, he's like, when I was still in LA, he's like, you get a part like every 5 years. He's like, oh, way to go. So the theater always kept going, but now with going back to New York, I'm just excited. I've auditioned for amazing movies and TV, and I have great stories about all of that, and it's been a really fun journey, and the thing I've found one of the things interesting is it is a competitive business, but there are so many opportunities with auditions, and I almost liken it to every time you get up to bat, like in baseball, every time you get a chance to hit the ball, you might strike out, but the more auditions you have, eventually you start booking jobs, and so I've never felt like, that it's too much or too much competition. I've always felt that there are plenty of opportunities for everyone to go around, but it is very competitive, for sure.
Does anybody have any questions? Because I can keep rolling with them if you don't.
Can you tell us about the current project you just finished?
Okay, I've got two independent films that are two horror films that'll start shooting this summer, one in Indiana and then one, not sure where the other one's gonna film. And all of that is through, when an agent called me to do these conventions, suddenly the Girl in Bathroom's fan base grew by like thousands of people, and so filmmakers have been reaching out to me to do their independent horror films. So I have two of those coming up, and because of the marriage, I didn't just come from a current project just because of the bad marriage. So the last stuff that I did was when I was still living in New York. So these two horror films, and the fans have been amazing, and just connecting to them on social media has been really fun for me. I never knew there'd be a fan base for the bathroom scene and for the bathroom girls. So that's been really fun and nice. And I would love if the cheerleader, Leonora is her name, if she would, I don't know if she wants to do conventions, but it would be so fun if she would want to do them with me, and then we would both be together. But
I could see a photo op happening, yeah. Both of you in costume.
Yeah.
You know, that would just be so fun.
If you come by the table, my table, there's a great doll maker who makes dolls, and she specializes in horror film dolls. So she made a Girl in Bathroom doll as a gift for me. So I have that just in a little display case, but it literally looks just like my bathroom girl character, and that this is my first convention that my agent got me, so I'm just so excited. Everyone's been so nice coming to the table, and just getting to meet all of you guys has been really fun for me.
And you're all welcome to stop by the table and say hello when we're over there too. A couple of you already did, so thanks for that.
We have a big, they did. We have a big scream. When the movie came out in 1996, I'd flown home to Virginia to take a bunch of family and friends to see it at the multiplex. And my dad went up to the multiplex manager and he said, "My daughter's in the movie," and saying that I played the bathroom girl. And the manager was like, "Here," and he gave, you can see it at the table, the huge Scream banner, like not even a poster, but this huge banner. And he was just gave it to my dad, and I always had it with me moving from LA to New York. And so I was so excited when I got asked to do the convention. So it's hanging up the big Drew Barrymore face. And then we have some great smaller posters and pictures and, This is so exciting just to be here with you all, and then seeing all the different booths and stuff.
So do you find that when you have gone out for the auditions, are they looking for a character that's kind of like the bathroom girl? Because, you know, in that scene, she was the nice one.
Yeah.
You know, she was the one kind of saying, "Hey, you know, let's give her a break. Her mom did just die." Do you find you're kind of stereotyped into that?
Not at all. I mean, a lot of the characters I audition for are quirky, well, sometimes dramatic characters or comedic, but I haven't been pigeonholed, which is nice. I mean, they're always quirky and to some extent, but there was a movie I did, Charlie's Party, that had a lot of dramatic and comedic stuff to it. I love just drama, just straight drama. But yeah, I've gotten to play a nice, diverse array of characters and then audition for amazing projects as well. So it's always been very varied and diverse. So it's been fun just diving into different characters. And so no, I was never typecast as the bathroom girl. So
they don't always want to see you come in with the girl's rule shirt.
Right,
so
right.
You're okay there. What made you make the transition from theater to movies? You know, how did you get involved with even knowing about Scream?
Well, I always thought I would stick with theater and go straight to New York City. So, but my acting teacher at Northwestern University was just very encouraging for me to go to LA and give it a try and movies and TV. And so I was kind of shocked that I went to the West Coast, but I did, and it turned out well for the 5 years I was there, and then 12 years in New York and going back to New York. I think with the film and adding film and TV was just a new challenge, because it's so different from obviously being on a set with the camera right here. In fact, Wes Craven, when we were doing our close-ups in the bathroom scene, they took each mirror out and put the camera right up as the mirror. And when I started doing my little makeup stuff, Wes came into the bathroom and he goes, "You look grotesque." He says, "It looks like you're playing to a Broadway theater of like 1,000 people." And he was laughing, but I knew exactly what he meant. And I like tough love anyways. I like a director being very direct and straight. And so once I kind of made that adjustment, and then Wes would say, he would just keep saying, "Shave it, shave it, shave it," just to make it as small, you know. Coming from the theater, everything's kind of larger than life. So just hearing him off camera, just shave it, shave it, shave it. And the one line where I say, "You're evil," she watched her mom get butchered. He wanted that super soft. And so he was kind of just like coaching us on the sidelines, and I was very, very nervous. It was just very technical. In the bathroom stall, they had to put a crew guy behind me straddling the toilet because they didn't like when each of us come out of the bathroom stall. The door was, you can hear the door in the scene, each bathroom stall door, but it was making a really loud noise. So the crew guy was behind me straddling the toilet, but then there wasn't enough room for me in front of him because the bathroom door kept opening. So he held me by the back of the purple shirt while we were doing the lines in the stalls. And then when it was my turn to come out and say, what would Sydney want with Steve? She has her own bubble butt boyfriend, Billy. Then he would let my shirt go. And then you hit your marks on the floor, but then with the close-ups on the sink or at the bathroom mirror, they put plywood on each of our sinks so that if we touched the plywood, we knew we were leaning forward too much. And then they had dangling red tape from the ceiling also in our eye line to not lean too far forward. So I literally felt like I was in a straitjacket because I didn't I didn't want to mess up any of the movements. So just learning how to do, I have such admiration for movie actors because it is such a different ball game from theater, and it's still, I still have a long ways to go to just feeling comfortable in front of a camera and then just making it as stripped down as I can. But it's fun to be able to bounce back and forth from theater to TV, commercials, voiceover, and films. So it's been an adventure for sure. Oh, there's Ghostface. Oh no, oh all no. Right. You all better dive under your chairs. Love it. Are you Skeet or Matthew Lillard? We don't know. We'd have to pull the mask off. But have you? Do you all? I'm just so curious. Do you remember? Because you guys are so young, where you were when you first saw the first screen? Did you see it on DVD? Well, your DVD. So did you mostly see it at home on DVDs? The DVD. What did you think, the Drew Barrymore? This is a fun little.
Now she said she's never seen it.
You have now. Are you gonna go? I mean, not peer pressure, not to apply peer pressure. It's so good. The opening scene. It is scary, but there's a lot of fun stuff, very comedic stuff as well. But the Drew Barrymore scene, that was the first thing that they shot, and it took about 5 days. So then when they were doing our bathroom scene, do you remember when she's hanging, Drew Barrymore's hanging from the tree? So that was all like a dummy doll. And in the makeup trailer, they had her head still in there, and it, of course, looked just like Drew Barrymore, and it was just sitting there on the counter. And... But what I always thought the behind-the-scenes stuff was cool. So apparently Harvey Weinstein and Bob Weinstein, the producers, weren't quite sure of the footage that they were seeing if they wanted to keep Wes Craven on the movie, which is insane. So Wes, after they did Drew Barrymore's scene, he cut it together with the editor and sent it to Harvey and Bob Weinstein to basically be like, leave us I know what I'm doing. And the two Weinsteins were like really impressed with that whole first scene with Drew Barrymore, which I think is so well done. But once they saw that scene, then they left Wes Craven alone and let him do his thing. And then I don't know if you guys knew, which I didn't know this, Drew Barrymore was a silent producer on the film. And initially I'm sure you guys know some of this stuff, they first wanted Drew Barrymore to play Sydney's part, and it was her idea to switch to playing Casey because she thought, since she was the biggest name in it, no one would believe. Like, if she died, then the audience would be like, oh, anyone can die. So that was her whole, she was behind all of that. decision-making, and I thought that was so brilliant, because I can't think of another scary movie where the big star dies within the first 10, 15 minutes. Okay, I'm late to Game of Thrones. And then they bring them back. Yes. Oh, that's right. What were your all's favorites? Did you love Matthew Lillard? He's so good. They're all so good. Courtney Cox, all of them are so good. And so, I think, perfectly cast. I remember do you all remember Brittany Murphy from Clueless? And she's such a great actress. They had her audition for Sydney and Tatum, but they felt she just was, she did a great job. I saw her audition that day. I was there for Sydney, but they felt she was too young looking at that time to play either of those parts. But she came to the premiere, and I was wearing a little leopard print, like slip skirt, and Brittany Murphy was there with her mom, and she was like, "I love your skirt." And but yeah, it was just interesting to see all the different, I can't remember who auditioned. I think Matthew Lillard wasn't even auditioning. He was there with like his girlfriend, and they saw him in the waiting room, and the casting director was like, "I'd like you to come in and read for Stu," and that's how that happened. And just all of that little behind the scenes stuff, I think, is so fun to hear about. You guys probably know so much of the behind the scenes info, I'm sure. Have you all seen what, other than one, what was your favorite so far? 2, 3, 4, or 5? 3 or 5. I haven't seen Scream 5. I'm so excited to see it. I'm so excited to see all of you.
I'm gonna tell you something that I might get lynched for.
No.
But since I volunteer at other conventions, I watched the first Scream for the first time, because last year I was told for a while I was going to be working in the Skeet and Matthew Lillard panel. So I watched it for the first time last year.
That's so.
And then I watched it again when I was going to interview you. So I haven't seen any of the other ones yet.
Well, and I've only seen Scream 2, so we'll have to watch 3 and 4 and 5 together.
The conversations of the behind-the-scenes stuff in that panel with Skeet and Matthew was hilarious.
I
didn't know Matthew Lillard had said that he came pretty close to being cast as Negan in Walking Dead.
I didn't know that.
And that was pretty much like, what a different character he would be.
That is amazing. But yeah, it's been fun watching all of the main actors, just their journeys and the rest of their careers has been fun.
Do you remain in contact with any of them?
So the cheerleader, we became really good friends in Los Angeles, and then she and I reconnected in New York City. And so there have been gaps in between. She's now in Austin, Texas, so I haven't seen her in a while. But we kept in touch, and when we were in both either LA and New York, we'd see each other. But then when Skeet broke up with Leon, the cheerleader, then I didn't really see him, and because my friendship was with her. So. But it was fun when they were still dating. It was fun to hang out with them. The cheerleaders, then the one constant. Yeah.
It would be really nice now that with the new Scream out, and there are Scream panels happening at a lot of cons. It would be great to get you in on one of those panels.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. I truly am amazed. I knew Nev and Skeet did the conventions, and I never thought that anyone would be interested in the Bathroom Girl, because it had been 25 years. But then I think with the 25th anniversary that came up in December, and then the fifth one coming out in January, was when the agent reached out to me. And But yeah, I was really stunned because I thought who's going to be interested in the girl in the bathroom? But it's been that's been yay. But it's been super fun. Just some of the fans have said how much with the bathroom scene that they identified, if they were bullied themselves in high school, that they really related to what Neve Campbell was going through. And then I was the nicer of the two of us, but just seeing it from that perspective and how different audience members have, you know, who they relate to of the characters, that's been super fun for me, just to hear what the bathroom scene meant to each person. And so it's been very unexpected to get to be here and getting to know a lot of the fans just on Facebook. And I've done, like I did with Donna Jean, I've done a ton of interviews for people's podcasts, like a ton that are already online. You can go to YouTube. They're on my Facebook page. It's just Nancy Ann Ritter, my name, and Instagram. And a lot of the interviews are up on Facebook or YouTube. And then I've got about 15 more that I have to skip that people have asked me to do. So I'm always just amazed that there's a big interest in the bathroom scene, but I'll take it. If I'm only ever known as the bathroom girl forever, then that will be fine.
All the geeks and the nerds love the nice bathroom girl.
The nice one of the two of us. Yes, yes. I stand up for Neve a little bit. Yeah,
you do, and I think that's endearing. And also in any film that's become a franchise, I think so many of us we'll watch it so much that we get to know all of the characters, and really it's like it takes all of the drops to fill the ocean, so each character has its important place.
And I with the first Scream, you know, you see the end credits, it's a pretty small cast, if you the main characters and then the rest of us, so that's kind of fun to be a part of a small ensemble of actors, and that's been special. And then Ghostface, I love that Ghostface is just sitting there. I love it. Are you gonna let us leave, or are we all gonna be stabbed as we walk by you?
Only the bathroom girls.
Some of the fans, I know you all wanna go and see everything. Some of the fans have been so funny saying, because the bathroom girls survived the first Scream, then they should come back like in Scream 6 or 7. I mean, obviously they'll just keep making Screams, or the fans will say, what do you think the bathroom girl is doing now? And one fan was like, I think she's running her own bakery in Woodsboro, and that she gives a discount on cupcakes if they use the word pathetic, like the promo word is pathetic, since that's when I say at the very end, you are pathetic. That gets you a discount on a cupcake if you use that word. But yeah, it's been funny just hearing all the theories, and especially now with Scream 5, just people trying to say, oh, we think the girl in bathroom could be this character that, you know, that could come back. I mean, as the girl in bathroom, but trying to weave in connections to where they took Scream 5. So yeah, it would be totally fun to come back. We could come back as old ladies in the bathroom. But yeah, it is fun to see how they continued them through all the Screams with, you know, some of the main characters. So
well, we have about 3 more minutes. Does anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Mavis, hi. Do you want to know some other projects I've auditioned for? Okay. Do you all remember the movie Hairspray, John Waters? So then they turned it into a Broadway musical, and my agent called me in New York. He's like, I know you're not a singer, but he said the casting people really want to see you audition for Penny Pingleton. And several years ago, and he said, they know you don't sing, but they said, we haven't decided if they want Penny to have a legit big Broadway voice or just a character voice. So I had to do the scene where her white mamas trying to deprogram her from liking the seaweed. And that really funny, I mean, it's an awful scene, but I had to do that scene. And then they had me prepare a 60s pop song, like My Boyfriend's Back. But since Penny falls in love with Seaweed, who's the young black boy, I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, which was pretty much an all-black high school. And so we would sing the black national anthem a lot. And so I thought that would be perfect for Penny. It's called Lift Every Voice and Sing, and I did a little gospel march, and there were like 20 people, the producers, the director, there were about 20 of the creative team in the big audition room, but the song, well anyways, to cut to the chase, so they called my agent, that the audition was super fun, and they said she was the best actor we saw for Penny, but we decided we want a girl with a big singing voice who can do that they wanted a legit, because sometimes they'll, for a certain character, they might just want a quirky just a character voice, like when Matthew Broderick, he does, I mean, he's obviously Matthew Broderick, but that was an amazing audition. There was, do you all remember the movie Signs with Joaquin Phoenix? That was an audition. Oh gosh, so many. So many commercials. I've done a McDonald's commercial chasing after a chicken McNugget. Tons of movies, tons of TV, and it's just always constant. I mean, not right now because I'm down in Virginia, but yeah, when I'm in New York, you're auditioning almost every week for on-camera commercials, voiceovers, movies, and TV. Mavis, I'm going to have to make sure when I go over back to the table, write down all of the movies I've auditioned for because I'm blanking right at the moment. I've done some independent films that I really want played bigger characters and learned a lot doing some of these independent films it's been so fun going along this whole ride of being an actor.
Well, we are out of time, but if you guys know of any horror cons that look like they have screen panels happening, you can request that Nancy Ann Ritter be a part of that. Request it to the owner. All of the convention websites have places where you can contact them. It's all over Facebook and Twitter. So request Nancy Ann be a part of that. And thanks so much for joining us, and keep screaming.
Thank you guys so much. This was so fun, and have a great rest of the day.
And now, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
Podcast.
You screaming up.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that panel with featuring Nancy Ann Ryder and Donna Jean Phillips. And let me just say this. Yes, that's one of the panels you could expect. I don't know if Nancy's going to be having a panel this year. They haven't dropped that list. And even if they did, it's still almost 20 days away, over 20 days away. I should say 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away. Card is subject to change. If you never went to a show, and you're in the Hagerstown area, the Quad State area, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, as far east as Baltimore, depending on where you're all listening to this, if you're able to get to Hagerstown, Maryland, this April 27th, 28th, come on up or down to the event. That panels like this is what you can expect, costume contests and everything else. Now, I'll say this. I know I've been probably saying a lot. Whether you like or hate panels are a good thing. And for many reasons, you could find out some behind the scenes stuff that you never knew before. Sometimes actor, actress drama, and you know how some actors were hard to work with. I know the actor who played Quark in DS9 has I saw a panel that he was on. I'm not sure what event, just that he was on the panel. And he said he was a guest star on Charmed, and he's being sent. He was censoring himself because he didn't want to curse. He said, "Yeah, there's a reason why those women were titled as witches," and me alluding to a few things. But you get to hear stuff like that. You get to hear how voice actors got their parts, you know, figured out how to do the roles and everything else. It's also why we love Four State Comic Con as a whole. And why? Because, like we said, we got a chance to record this. People, Matt Burns came up to us to ask us if we wanted to record this panel. Like last year, even though we couldn't call it a Power Rangers panel, we went up, we asked the folks, that the Power Rangers that were there, if they told us no, we weren't, you know, we would have said, okay, thank you so much for the opportunity, for letting us record, you know, giving us the opportunity to ask the question, so forth and so on. It's a pleasure to meet you. But if they, like they said, you have to ask our manager. And we're like, okay, we asked the manager, and he's like, sure, there's a few things that we have to, you have to censor because the SAG strike and all that, but that's the thing. That's the beauty of it. We were allowed, and us being allowed to do so and sharing and resharing these episodes for you lets you hear those interviews, that speech and behind the scenes knowledge. If we could snag them, if not, we don't. But we really love it because we get to share that information. Like our interview that we did many, many years ago with the voice behind Jesse from, maybe we'll dig those up and put her in there in regards to what you could find. But still, you get to hear those interviews, and if the right questions come up, you get to hear their thoughts on them and their discussion and what they thought and everything else. That's why we love recording. Like I said, we love recording them because good chance what is said at one show might not be said at another. And not to mention, the reason why we love to record them, at least with the audio, and if we're able to record with the video, you get to see, either hear and or see this event. And if you missed this Four State Comic Con, dear listener, you, in a way, attend that event. And that way, if next year you want to show up, you could show up. And let me put it like this. Please, come. Come to Four State. It's already being reported, allegedly, a record event, another record year for Four State Comic Con, and hopefully we'll be able to get there at least Sunday, if not Saturday and Sunday. Well, if we're able to do both days, that's even more awesome, more content for all of you. That's a plus for us and a plus for you. If we could do there at least a Sunday, the 28th, that's still a win for you. We'll try to get as much stuff as we can. A lot of times we can't really do a visual podcast. I should say a lot of panels over the past year or two were very visual. Last year when we went, a lot of the panels that we wanted to record were very visual, and we couldn't do that. And it's kind of hard to record a visual podcast, but I mean a visual panel and have it be audio because it doesn't really translate well. But I digress. So that being said, the link to this Lacquer and the Man Facebook group or will be down below. Kindly let them know that they should come on the show. Let us know, please, in the comment section on Podbean. Don't let all this go to waste. We're getting more and more new listeners subbing to us on Podbean. That means all of you should be listening, going back to our archives. I know I hate these retro stuff, but right now we're trying to sell Four State Comic Con to have you guys show up this year. If you see us, we'll be wearing a jersey with a show logo on it. Just look for the jersey that has Podfather on the back, and come say hi to us. So tell us that. We'll get interviews the whole nine yards. We're getting content. We'll try to be getting content left and right that year, or say this year. So either way, take care. And as always, support us by liking, sharing us, and all our, if you want to support us via financially or what have you, or like supporting our sponsors and thus supporting us, do so. All the links and how to do so are in the description. That being said, you know the rest, like...
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.